it for me for a while.
Nice to see you.
Morning. Morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Welcome to just the live stream. Still don't have the Facebook going, so you'll have to catch us on our website, stjohnschwier.org. I'd like to welcome Pastor Jeff Swanson and his wife, Jane. Yeah, wrote that down so I wouldn't forget. And yet, sometimes I still will forget. Thank you for being here and sharing with the Alaska and your message today. Thank you so much. Thanks for the help from the youth group to Cole, Kendra, and Corey for helping with the lock-in. I have spoken with Corey, and he can't move really well. How about you, Cole? You're still okay? Well, I can get that for me, but you guys are young. And then there's more thank yous on the bulletin board back there in the back. If you want to read those, you can. And I'd like to announce, too, that Grief Share will be starting back up here again on January 23rd. At 6:30, we'll be starting that. And we're going to be teaming up with the Christian Church in Melford. So we're going to continually run. So we're not going to take a break. So we'll run for 13 weeks, then the Christian Church. And theirs are going to be on a Wednesday night. So all the way through the rest of the year. So if you know of anybody that wants to attend a meeting, and it doesn't matter which one you come in on, but if you could pre-register at griefshare.org or talk to myself, or we can get you a walk through that. Wayne or Kathy or Jill will be able to help you with that too. So if you know of someone. And then I just got handed this too, the happy anniversary to Ty and Lynn Schomburg. And how many?
57.
Woo! Yeah, congratulations. I was going to say, Ty, that's quite a few years that she has to put up with you.
My sister used to tell me that I could have been out of jail by her.
All right, thank you.
The seminar is Calvary. They'd like to know if it's a meal with that, if anybody's interested in going to that.
A seminar at Calvary?
Yeah, it's on the...
That's on the...
They're trying to do that transition... You know, they said there's a cliff coming for the churches, and they're trying to figure that stuff out and have a seminar coming. I gave that one way back when. When is that?
Did I announce that once?
19.
Yeah, it's 19. You announced that one time, but there is a meal with that, so if anybody's going, we got to let them know.
Okay.
That way they can prepare.
See Steve.
I think the letter's posted out here.
Oh, it is posted. All right, thank you. All right, I think that's all the announcements I have. So, Pastor Jeff, you'll lead us in worship.
Good morning. Okay, just a moment before we begin the worship service, just to bring a greeting to you from Alaska. My wife Jane and I served in Alaska for the last 15 years. Prior to that, we were serving a church about 2 hours north of here, Helmer Lutheran Church, up in by Newark, Illinois. And during those 15 years that we were at Newark, at Helmer Lutheran, had opportunities to be here in this church. Not this church, but the old church before it burned down. I'm sorry to hear about that. But I was the district president for a while for the Illinois district, so we're here for installations and WMF rallies and various things. So some of your faces are kind of familiar, but it's been a lot of years. But it's a real joy to be with you today and to share the work of the Alaska Mission. And Wayne and Warren. I always get that wrong because Ken's brother's Wayne, right? So I always call Warren Wayne. But anyway, Warren and Ken Lehman were up in Alaska about a year and a half ago, so it's good to see them again. And a joy not only to be here to share about Alaska, but also to worship together with you. So I'd like to begin our service with a call to worship from Psalm 100. Reading from Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and in holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 53, As with Gladness, Men of Old. Let us bow before the Lord and confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God the Father. God in His Word has declared that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We praise God today for the forgiveness of sins that comes to us by virtue of Jesus' life, death, resurrection. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And we'll call upon the reader for the Old Testament lesson.
The Old Testament lesson today is from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. Reading from God's Word. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The epistle lesson is from Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here ends the lesson.
Gospel lesson this morning is found in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. I'll ask you to stand for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Here ends the reading of God's Word for this morning. Let's confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Continue worshiping with hymn number 50, O God, our help in ages past. I'm not sure if you are you seated at this time. You can be seated. Number 50. Well, this will be a little different than you're used to. On a Sunday morning, we're going to share a little bit about the Alaska Mission. I have a video presentation, if we can get that to work, and share about the Alaska work. And then I have a message for Alaska, but a message for here in Illinois as well. It's for the world. Hope for the broken. Hope for the broken. We'll be talking about that. We also have a table out in the entryway there, and my wife put that up. And after church, we'll be there if you want to sign up to receive the Alaska newsletter or get more information or be updated on prayer requests and so on. And there's some information there, some books that show some of the things that go on in Alaska and the ministry there and so on. I do want to take a moment and say thank you. You support the AFLC through doing that. You support AFLC Home Missions and the Alaska Mission that Jane and I were a part of, serving there for 15 years, is supported by Home Missions and upheld by that. So thank you for supporting the work in Alaska. Maybe you didn't even know you did, but you are, and we really appreciate that. We moved back from Alaska last May. I was diagnosed about a year ago with Parkinson's disease, so I'm a little self-conscious of that. I always like to tell people I have it because you'll wonder, why is he shaking? My right hand tends to shake a lot, but that kind of precipitated our move back to the lower 48. But the Home Mission Department decided to call us to be the Alaska Mission Coordinator. So we travel to churches and share about the Alaska work and occasionally go back to Alaska. We were back in August for a few weeks. We're leaving in about a week to go back up again to fill in and help with the preaching and teaching and so on. Not quite sure why we're going in January, but maybe we'll get to go later in the summer as well. But are we able to show the video? This is a little about a 5-minute video. It'll give you kind of an overview of the ministry in Alaska. Alaska, the great land. Great indeed. Great scenery, majestic mountains, beautiful rivers, abundant wildlife, world-class fishing, especially salmon. Alaska is a state with great needs as well. Alcoholism, drug addiction, physical and sexual abuse, suicide, rates among the highest in the nation. Thankfully, we serve a great God. Alaskans need Jesus. The Alaska Mission began 80 years ago with pioneer missionaries bringing the gospel to Bush, Alaska. In 2008, the Lutheran Mission Societies handed off the work to the Home Mission Department of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations. Today, the Ministry of Proclaiming Christ to Alaska, and specifically Bristol Bay, continues with a variety of ministries. Alaska is a huge state. Much of the state remains remote, isolated, and reachable only by air. Many communities have no regular gospel ministry, no resident pastor, and are sadly underserved. The Alaska Mission exists to bring God's word to this vast, beautiful, needy land and its precious people. God has opened many doors to carry out gospel ministry in Bristol Bay. Our priority is proclaiming God's word. First, we have preaching points in Naknek, South Naknek, and Ekwok. Hilltop Christian Fellowship in Naknek has weekly services and Bible studies. South Naknek Lutheran Church has weekly services as well. We travel to Ekwok Bible Chapel as weather and flying conditions permit. KAKN Radio went on the air in 1988. This 24/7 radio outreach is managed by Pastor Bob Lee. Bob and his wife Margaret have served KAKN since 2010. KAKN broadcasts the gospel with music and preaching and other programming to many isolated villages in southwest Alaska. Very little radio is available in rural Alaska, so KAKN is a welcome voice of good news in a remote land. Much of this ministry in Alaska is only possible through air travel. FLAPS, Free Lutheran Airplane Pilots Supporters, has for many years now provided much-needed aviation help to our work. Pastor Jeremy Kroll, wife Lacey, and son Malachi have served in Alaska overseeing aviation ministry since 2010. Besides flying to villages for church services, children are flown to Bible camp, VBS teams are flown in the summer to many villages, flights are made to communities in support of radio maintenance and humanitarian work, like transporting groceries and even moose meat. Summer in Alaska means long days with lots of light. It also means special opportunities for ministry. Fishermen and cannery workers flood into Naknek from all over the world for one of the world's largest salmon harvests. We seek to reach these folks through a coffee house outreach, The Net. The Net offers free coffee, cookies, Bibles, tracts, internet, and welcoming conversation, all pointing people to Jesus. Volunteers from many AFLC congregations have staffed The Net for many years now. God has opened doors in villages like Leavelock, Ekwok, Kaliganik, Kakanak, Manakotik, Egigik, Igiagik, Naknek, and South Naknek for Vacation Bible School. Heather Hansen has served on the VBS team for several summers now and lives now full-time in Naknek. She's involved with children and youth ministry. The VBS team flies to each community and spends a week sharing the love of Jesus in word and deed. Many of the children have never been to Sunday school or heard basic Bible stories. Pray for these beautiful children for whom Christ died. Josh Fish joined the Alaska team in the summer of 2021 as maintenance director. Josh is also a pilot and has been a great help to the ministry in maintaining properties, vehicles, and planes. We are so thankful for all of the volunteers who've come through the years helping on work projects, radio station tasks, aviation needs, and various other projects. This is God's work, and we're privileged to join Him along with you in fulfilling the vision. Acts 1:8 speaks of being Christ's witness to the ends of the earth. Naknek seems at times to be the end of the earth, but Jesus' love extends to every location on earth and every soul on earth. Revelation 5:9 tells us that Jesus purchased men from every tribe, language, people, and nation with His blood. By God's grace, we seek to reach the souls of those for whom Christ came, shed His blood, and rose again. Praise God for the open door for the gospel in Bristol Bay. Please pray for the Alaska Mission and consider how you can be involved through coming as a volunteer or by giving financially. Psalm 67, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known on the earth, Thy salvation among all nations. Thank you again for helping with the video portion of that. Every church we go to, it's kind of a challenge to get the slides or videos to work, and so I appreciate you guys making that happen this morning. Thank you. That last picture of that airplane landing is very appropriate. Just a few comments about the uniqueness of the ministry in Alaska. Everywhere we go, we fly. Naknek is 300 miles southwest of Anchorage over the mountains, and so there's no roads out there. And then the villages that we go to, those villages that were mentioned to go for vacation Bible school or the preaching points that we have, also only reachable by airplane. I always think of, we're from Kansas, grew up in Kansas, small towns, like small towns in this part of Illinois and so on. Just imagine if you took a town of 300, 400, 500 people and put it 50 miles away from everything else with no roads, no grocery store, no access, and it's really, really expensive to fly out of there. It's just a unique mission field in all of the world. We did our seminary internship many years ago in Brazil. We used to take groups to Mexico to do mission work there. Anywhere you go, you can drive. There are roads, even in Europe and Asia and South America, Central America. By and large, you can drive just about wherever you want to go. Rural Alaska is very unique in that two-thirds of the state, and the state is huge, 2.5 times the size of Texas, huge state, largely only reachable by airplane in places. And so the need is very great. The opportunity is very great. When I do a slideshow, this was the video presentation, but if I do a slideshow, I often talk about how Alaska is a land of extremes, extreme weather sometimes, and extreme prices. A gallon of milk is $15.99 in the little community where we used to live, and I could go on with other prices and that, but a lot of extremes there and extreme needs. The alcoholism rate in the villages of Alaska, the remote villages. Unemployment is extreme, 95, 96% in those villages. Extreme prices, but extreme needs. Suicide rate, alcohol rate, drug addiction rate, immorality, incest, and so on. Very few intact families. The needs are very, very great. And so I just ask you to pray for Alaska. There are a lot of great ministries going on, a lot of great missionaries and pastors serving in various areas. Pray for God to build His kingdom Jesus said, I will build my church. And pray that he will do that in Alaska and continue to do that as well. So you can pray for the ministry. Pray specifically for a pastor to take our place. You saw in the presentation there, Bob Lee runs our radio station. Jeremy Kroll oversees the aviation side of things. I was kind of the pastor that kind of took just oversight of pastoral ministry and ministry of the word. And so Bob and Jeremy have had to fill in a lot of that since we've been gone. And they already had full-time positions, so it's been taxing for them. So pray for a pastor missionary for Alaska. Pray for God to work in the hearts and lives of people there. Also opportunities to go. Again, Warren and Ken were up and did some work at the radio station and also manned the net. The net is our Christian coffee house ministry, and it's amazing. We go from a little town of 500 people to 15,000 people in the summertime for a couple of months during the fishing season. Those 15,000 people are from all over the world. The net, this little coffee house where people can walk into and get a free cup of coffee and a free cookie and free Bibles and tracts and free use of the internet and a free conversation with somebody. The people that walk in there, you'd be amazed. I mean, we'd sit there in the net, you know, in Naknek, which is like the end of the world. And here some guy would walk into the net and we'd say, where are you from? And he'd say, Mongolia or the Philippines or Brazil or Poland or Russia or Los Angeles or Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. The world, shockingly, the world comes to Naknek in the summer. And there's an opportunity there. We've had a lot of volunteers that come and work in the net, and retired men and women, farm wives and so on, and they just bake cookies and make coffee and go out and pour a cup of coffee for people and just engage in conversations. I have a beautiful memory of a gal. She was a tough gal from Los Angeles. And she would walk back into the little kitchen, and here was this little lady from northern Missouri, old retired farm wife, and here was this really tall African-American gal from Los Angeles, and she would come in there every day to get a fresh cookie, and she'd say, could you have time to pray for me today? And here they'd be standing. Judy Raymer, she was just a short little gal, and this gal was tall, about 6'2", I think, and they'd be standing there arm in arm praying. Judy would be praying for that gal. What a wonderful ministry it is to reach out to the world in Naknek. And you can come and volunteer and bake cookies and serve coffee and just some opportunities in that regard. So always opportunities to give. We appreciate the gifts of cookie mixes and coffee and paper plates and paper cups and quilts and so on. We have been blessed in that way with the ministry in Alaska. And you can be involved in that way. So a lot of great opportunities. Sometimes in a less formal setting, we'll have a time for questions. We won't do that this morning since we're in the middle of a church service. But after church, if you have any questions, feel free to talk to Jane and I about that. One of the things that we noticed in 2007, about 16 years ago, when we moved to Alaska, one of the things that became very apparent to us was that Alaska, at least in the rural communities where we lived, was a very broken place. A lot of broken lives, people's health broken down by hard living. Broken health, broken lives, broken families, broken relationships, a lot of broken promises, a lot of broken hearts, a lot of brokenness. And that's not only true in Naknek, that's true here too, isn't it? We face a lot of hard things in life. Grief, the loss of a loved one, dealing with our own sin, some of the bad choices we make or bad mistakes that we commit. And we find that sometimes there's broken families, broken homes, broken relationships, broken dreams, broken hearts, brokenness in our lives as well. When I was about 18 years old, I went to Kansas State University to begin college, and it's kind of what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. I came face to face with my own brokenness, my own sin. I grew up in a wonderful home, quarter mile from the church, went to church all the time, but I found out that I was a very broken person. When I began to study the Bible with some friends, I was invited to a Bible study with Campus Crusade for Christ. As I began to read the Bible, and I'd be at Bible study on Tuesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights I sowed my wild oats because I was away from home and experiencing new things. And it just became so apparent to me the brokenness of my own heart, sin, and the danger of sin to myself and to my life, and the danger to my relationship with God. And my relationship with God was broken. And so when I talk about brokenness in Alaska, it's not just there, but it's here, and it's here. It's in my heart. We are a broken people. Shouldn't be any surprise to us. We're reading Genesis in Sunday school this morning and reading about the fall of mankind into sin in the Garden of Eden. Bad choices, disobedience, sin entered the world. The world fell from grace. We talk about a fallen world. We talk about a broken world. That's why there's brokenness in Alaska and brokenness in Illinois and in Kansas and wherever you go. But there's good news for Alaska and there's good news for us today. God has hope for the broken. And there's hope for you and me. Our text this morning that I'm going to share from is three scattered verses. And the first one is Psalm 34:18. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the broken, the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The Lord is near to the broken. I didn't even take my notes out here. Better get my notes out or we'll go astray. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isn't that good news today? The Lord is near to the broken. We've acknowledged that there's a lot of brokenness in the villages of Alaska. There's brokenness in the world around us. There's brokenness in our own hearts and our own lives. But here's a promise from God's Word. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. We know that God is always near. It's part of who God is. It's one of His attributes, the omnipresence of God. He's always with us. We never are away from Him. I think of what it says in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, where it says, "You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were all the days written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Verse 7, to go back a little bit, says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, the light surround me, around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and the light are alike to you." You just can't get away from God. And that's good news, isn't it? I always say it's kind of a double sword, because anything we think, anywhere we go, anything we do, God is there and He sees it. That's a little bit convicting. That's a little troubling. There are no secrets with God. You might have secrets from one another. You don't have any secrets from God. God knows what's in your heart and in your mind. You cannot get away from God. That's a heavy thought. That's convicting. But it's also a wonderful thought that no matter where we go, no matter how far we stray, God is there. When we wander from God, and some people have wandered and run from God all of their life, we run and we run and we run from God, and the moment we repent and we turn around, God is right there. We don't have to run all the way back. God is right there. He's always present, everywhere present. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That is such good news for us. We rejoice in that. I think of a scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, that says, "Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." That little statement is just a blessing to me. The Lord is near. God is near to the brokenhearted. We had a young man that we met in South Naknek couple years after we had been there. He had just moved back to South Naknek. He had grown there. That's a tiny little village across the river from Naknek. The river has tides 30 feet up and down twice a day. So we have to fly to South Naknek, even though it's only 1 mile away. We would fly in an airplane just because of the danger of the tides and so on. Well, we were there one time, and we were at an elderly woman's 90th birthday party. And the guy was with Pastor Brian Davidson. He used to be here, right? Some years ago. Brian was serving as kind of the interim manager at our radio station. Brian likes to make copes, you know, wherever he's living. I don't know if he did that when he was here or not. But he had made this purple, looked like silk to me. I thought it looked pretty crazy. It was kind of a big purple silk coat, and on the back of it, he had written in bright yellow, KAKN Radio, a voice of truth. And there was a young fellow there that was at that birthday party. It was his grandmother's birthday party, actually. And he said, "Are you guys with that radio station?" And we said, "Yeah." And he said, "I've been listening to that radio station. And that Greg Laurie that preaches," he said, he's getting through to me." And he went on to tell a story about how one day he had been ice fishing and he had a sense of the presence of God. And he said, "I fell on my knees right there on the ice, just like those guys in the Bible." That was our introduction to a little guy named Ted. We called him Little Ted because his dad's name was Ted also, and his son's name was Ted, and his grandson's name was Ted. So we had to kind of identify Little Ted. Well, Little Ted is today a wonderful part of our church in South Naknek, a dear brother in the Lord. God has reached him. But I always remember one of the things that Little Ted said. Prior to moving back to South Naknek in the early 2000s, he had lived on the streets in Anchorage for many years and was deeply involved with drugs and with alcohol, fathered many children by many different women and so on. And he said, "There were times when I felt so far away from home and so far away from God." And he was so overjoyed to know that God was right there. He could call upon him right now. Call upon the Lord while he is near. I just love that testimony of Ted. He said, "I wandered far from home on the streets of Anchorage, far from God, but I've learned that God was there all the time. God was near. A simple look to the Lord, a simple cry to God, 'Oh God, have mercy on me, forgive me. I want to enter back into fellowship with you.' God is right there. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And if there's brokenness in your life, maybe you're grieving, needing to turn back to God in some area of your life because of sin, know that today the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And it's okay to be broken. It's okay to be broken. In fact, it's required. If we live our life in pride and we don't need God, we don't need anything, tough for God to get through to us. But when we're broken down, we become aware of our sin and our need, and we're hurting. Maybe we're grieving. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He loves it when we cry to him and say, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And he begins to work. God is near to the brokenhearted. It also says in that verse, he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I thought of that verse again this Christmas season when we were singing, what's the one hymn? "Ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low." I think it came upon the midnight clear. Do you remember that song? "It came upon the midnight clear." One of the lines says, "You who are crushed beneath life's load, whose forms are bending low." Sometimes life can be a heavy, heavy thing, and people are just crushed, bending low because of how hard and difficult life can be. God is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. What a Savior we have. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God who loved us and sent his Son, Jesus, to come to this earth to live a perfect life that we could never live, to die in our place on the cross, to die for our sins, to be raised again from the dead. We have a wonderful God who has sent his Son, a wonderful Savior, that we might know salvation, eternal life, peace with God. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. But not only is God near to the brokenhearted, God welcomes the broken, the brokenhearted. A few chapters later in Psalms, Psalm 51, verse 17, we have the record of King David's confession of sin. And you all remember the story of David, right? A man after God's own heart. But even that man who had who was after God's own heart, he had an old nature as well that was prone to sin and could give in to sin. And it did. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. She became pregnant. He tried to cover it all up by calling her husband back from the front lines to think that he was the father of the child. He was more noble than David. He wouldn't stay with his wife. He didn't think it was right for him to be with his wife when his troops were out facing battles every day. And so Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, honorable man, got sent back to the very front lines at David's order with the idea that he would perhaps be killed and then Bathsheba would be free for David to take. David shocks me, a man after God's own heart, and yet he committed adultery and he lied and he was really an accomplice to murder. And I wonder what was in David's heart when he began to realize how much he had sinned. You know, he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. And David was so mad about that little story that Nathan told. And Nathan confronted David and said, David, you're the man. You're the man in that story. You're the sinner. David was deeply convicted. And I've always wondered, do you suppose David was afraid to go back to God because of all the sin he had committed? Would God forgive him? Would God give him the time of day? You ever been there? Or maybe you've confessed that same sin over and over and you come to a point where you think, is God impatient with me? Is God going to forgive me again? Has God ever given up on me? And it's interesting, at the end of Psalm 51, which is David's humble, beautiful prayer of confession, at the end of that psalm, David says this, Psalm 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite, O God, a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And if you've ever thought about that verse, to me it's David saying, God does not despise a broken heart. Maybe he was tempted to think in his own heart that God is going to give up on me after what I've done. I've committed such terrible sin. God is going to despise me, not welcome me back when I come to him and ask for forgiveness. But David says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God doesn't despise broken people. God welcomes broken people. When David came back and confessed his sin, God welcomed him. Isn't that wonderful to know today? That God not only is near to the brokenhearted, but God welcomes the brokenhearted. He doesn't turn us away and say, that's too bad, I give up on you. He welcomes the brokenhearted. About 40 years ago, when Jane and I were getting out of seminary, we had to serve a seminary internship, and we had a heart for missions, and we asked if we could go to Brazil for our seminary internship. And so we spent 6 months in Brazil. Now our daughter is a missionary in Brazil. Maybe on your missionary board you'll see John and Hannah Lee with their beautiful little blonde daughters, five of them in 5 years. Actually, the fifth one was a boy. That's our daughter, Hannah. She's in Brazil. We keep dropping off kids everywhere we go. We have a daughter now in Alaska and one in Brazil and one in Illinois and one in Montana where we first served and so on. Anyway, we were in Brazil and we got to go visit Rio de Janeiro. Rio de Janeiro is one wicked city. It's a beautiful city, but it's full of crime, unbelievable crime. We were driving around with a guy. He was he was the father of one of our seminarians, and he was a policeman. We were driving in his little Volkswagen Bug, and we parked one place, and he pulled out a log chain, and he wrapped it around the steering wheel and down around the clutch and around the brake and put a padlock on it. Then he locked the car. He also had a switch up underneath the dashboard to shut off the electrical system that he hoped thieves wouldn't find. We got out of the car, and he paid a guy on the street to keep an eye on the car so nobody would bother it. And he said, I've still had 3 cars stolen. A lot of crime in Brazil. But it just really strikes me funny, in that really wicked city and crime-ridden city, you know what one of the most prominent places to visit there is? Christ the Redeemer Mountain. Have any of you ever heard of that? Have you ever seen that? I wish I had a picture. There's a huge statue, hundreds of feet tall, of Christ standing on a mountain peak in the middle of Rio de Janeiro, and here Christ stands with open arms. It's called Christ the Redeemer Mountain. And I just think what an awesome picture that is. A wicked city, and here stands Christ the Redeemer waiting if people would just come to him, welcoming any sinner who would come to him. And that's a great picture of our world. Our world is a fallen world, a broken world, a sinful world. And yet Jesus Christ stands with open arms, welcoming, inviting anybody who will come to him. Isaiah 65, verse 2, God says, all day long I've held out my arms to a stubborn people. What a biblical picture, a word picture of the wonderful reality of the grace of God, that God in the person of Jesus Christ stands all day long. Isaiah 65, 2, all day long I've held out my arms to a stubborn people. That's who our God is, a welcoming God. All who repent and turn to him, he welcomes and embraces and forgives. God not only is near to the broken, but here it says God welcomes the broken. He doesn't despise the brokenhearted, but he welcomes the brokenhearted. A few weeks before we left Alaska, I had flown with a couple other guys to a little community called Ekwok. You saw in the video there, the Ekwok Bible Chapel, little community on the Nooshigak River. We went there on a Thursday to go door to door and visit some people. We stopped in and visited a guy by the name of William. William was as drunk as a skunk the day that we were there, and he wasn't behaving very well. It was very awkward and very inappropriate, and it was just not a pleasant time. We kind of bid our farewell and moved on. 3 days later, Sunday, we were back in Ekwok to have church in the afternoon. And that guy, William, he showed up at church, and he was sober. He walked in the back door, and he right away, he began to apologize. He said, "I'm so sorry for the way I acted the other day and the things I said and the things I did." And he got really serious, and he had a tear in his eye, and he said, "Is it possible for God to save somebody like me? Is it possible? I've struggled with alcohol for so long. Is it possible? Is there hope for somebody like me?" Isn't it wonderful to be able to proclaim to William, to proclaim to the world, God welcomes the broken. Yes, it's possible to be saved. Yes, it's possible to be forgiven. Yes, it's possible to have peace with God because of God's grace and God's mercy and because of the cross and the empty tomb. God welcomes the broken. It's good to share that with William there in Ekwok. It's good to share that here today. Good to believe that in my own heart. God welcomes the brokenhearted. When I've messed up bad as I can, I come to God and I picture Him like Christ the Redeemer Mountain in Rio de Janeiro. I picture Isaiah 65:2. All day long I've held up my arms to a stubborn people. God welcomes the broken. So God is near to the broken. God welcomes the broken. And then a verse from Isaiah 61, verse 1. God heals and mends the broken. Isaiah 61, verse 1. You'll recognize this verse. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." Notice the middle part of that verse. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You'll notice the common word in all three verses we've looked at. Psalm 34:18, Psalm 51:17, and now Isaiah 61:1 is the word broken. And here it says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, or to mend, or to heal the brokenhearted. Do you remember where that verse is quoted in the New Testament? Jesus in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, standing up and reading from the scroll as it's opened, and he reads from Isaiah 61 these exact verses. Jesus, quoting Isaiah 61:1, said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." When Jesus finished reading that verse from Isaiah, it says that he sat down and he said, "Today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled." I've often thought of that as one of the most exciting moments in the Bible. I used to say if I had a time machine, that's one of the places. I mean, there's a lot of places I would get in that time machine and go back to in biblical terms and so on. But I'd love to have been in that synagogue on that day when Jesus read this verse, because this verse was a prophecy about a coming Messiah. The people of God, the Jewish people, had heard for hundreds of years of a coming Messiah who would fulfill this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted." The Jews had waited and waited for that to be fulfilled. And Jesus Christ says, "Today, in your hearing, this has been fulfilled." He's saying, "I'm it. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that the Father has sent to save the world and to save you." What an exciting moment that must have been for those who understood and who grasped that. And one of the things that Jesus came to do was to bind up the brokenhearted, to mend or to heal the brokenhearted. That's good news too. Jesus is near to the brokenhearted. He welcomes the brokenhearted, and He brings healing and can mend the brokenhearted. One final Alaska story for you this morning. We used to drive around Naknek, and Naknek has three bars. It's a tiny little town, but it has three bars. Go figure. That's the way it often is. And in fact, they're kind of in a triangle. Some people call it the Barmuda Triangle of Naknek. But one thing that we noticed when we were driving around in Naknek there, we'd see a sign up on some Friday nights. It would say, "Live music with Wendy Lee." And she was the singer at the bar and so on. Never knew her. Never met her. One day I was asked to give the prayer at the Rural Electric Cooperative annual meeting. And so I got up to pray. I went in up on the stage of the auditorium there at the school. Wendy had been asked to sing the national anthem for that same meeting. So I went out first to pray. And when I pray in those settings, sometimes I do kind of a sermon prayer. Have you ever heard a pastor do that? Long-winded pastor who will have prayers that go on and on or preach on and on. You're getting a little taste of that today. But I went out and prayed. I prayed the whole gospel in the prayer. And as I was walking off the stage, here stood Wendy, whom I'd never met. She's getting ready to walk out to sing the national anthem. She's quite a singer, really good at the oldies and so on. And she had tears in her eyes. And she grabbed my hand and squeezed it when I walked out. Didn't give an awful lot of thought to it. But I'll tell you, over the next couple of years, Wendy came to Jesus. And she went from being the bar singer in town to being the worship leader in our church. Today, she's a worship leader down in New Mexico. She moved down to New Mexico and sings in veterans' homes and sings in churches leading worship and so on. She told me her story later on about how she grew up on the north shore of Minnesota, up north of Duluth up there. She was a Christian as a teenager, but she made some wrong decisions. She chose to go with her boyfriend rather than go with God. There was a time where she was thinking about being a missionary, following Christ, but her boyfriend had given her an ultimatum. You either follow the Lord or you follow me. And she followed her boyfriend. And she said that began 40 years of straying from God. She became a very broken woman until she met Jesus. She became a worship leader. She became a follower of Christ. Jesus brought healing and mending to her heart and to her soul. That's what Jesus does. He forgives the past, meets us where we're at, lets us start afresh and anew, brings healing and mending to a broken heart, a broken person. God is near to the broken. God welcomes the broken. And God can heal and mend the broken. Praise God. There's hope for the broken in Alaska. Keep praying for those that need the Lord in Alaska. And there's hope for the broken right here at St. John's today. There's hope for broken me and broken you. Because of the grace of God, because of the love of God, the work of God, sending His Son Jesus to die in our place on the cross, raising Him from the dead, giving us the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life. There is hope for all mankind because of God's great grace and God's great love. So pray for Alaska. There's hope for the broken in Alaska. There's hope for you and me today. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these three verses of Scripture that remind us of the nearness of God, the welcome of God, the healing and help and mending of God for those that are broken. And to one degree or another, Lord, I believe that we're all broken in our hearts. We've experienced a lot of brokenness in this world. But I thank you, God, that in the midst of it all, there is hope. Our hope and our help is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. So I thank you that you're near to us today. You welcome us today when we come to you in true repentance and faith. And I thank you that you begin to work in our hearts and bring healing and mending to us. We thank you and we praise you and pray that you do that work among us here today. Pray that you would do that work in Alaska as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together number 309, Christ for the World We Sing. worship the Lord now by bringing our tithes and offerings to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you for all that you are and all that you've done for us. Our ability to bring gifts to you this morning are a result of your goodness and faithfulness to us, your provision of life and health and strength and jobs and so on. And so thank you for your gracious provision in our lives, and most of all for the provision of Jesus Christ, our Savior, for the forgiveness of sins through the cross, through the resurrection. Thank you for peace with God and for eternal life. We give you praise for that. Thank you for those who faithfully serve you around the world today. Thankful for the gospel going forth and you building your church. Bless all those who serve you in churches and in various mission stations all around the world. We pray for our brothers and sisters, too, who are persecuted for their faith. We remember brothers and sisters who, simply because they're believers in Jesus, are going through great difficulty and great danger in these days. Please support and encourage them. We also pray together for the needs of this congregation, Lord, for those who aren't able to be here today, Juanita Gelkin and Joan Van Hovland. We pray for them, Lord, that you'd be near to them, and may your presence and the promises of your word, your love and the love of friends and family be a source of great strength and encouragement for them. And for those who are in need of healing, Lord, Gordon Anderson, Marcia Anderson, Rick Anderson, Logan Bogdan, Linda Brazel, Tim Evans, Randy Hack, Norm Hansen, Wendell Heron, Daniel Kraft, Dennis Craigle, Robert Leitz, Diane Nels, Randy Roth, Gunnar Sadlers, Casey Steiner, Michael Schomburg, Ty Schomburg, Blake Van Hovland, and Delbert Weaver. We lift them up to you, God, and pray for them and whoever else is on our hearts today, that you would minister to them in spirit and soul and in body as well. We pray for the other things mentioned in the bulletin there, for the Children of the Cradle Roll, for the Church Council, for the Call Committee. You know each and every one of them. Grant them grace to know you, love you, follow you, serve you faithfully, Lord. And we pray that you would meet the needs of this congregation, especially the need for a pastor, Lord. We just ask you to, in your timing, your way, meet that need. We pray together for our nation and for our government, as you've taught us to in your word. God, have mercy on us as a nation, and we pray for repentance and revival and a return to you and to your word and to your ways. For world leaders and those in authority, give them humble hearts and a desire to know your will and to do your will, Father. Be with those in the U.S. military and for all their families too. Watch over and keep them and grant grace that they might be strong in these difficult times. All of this and whatever else is on our hearts, we lift to you today. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Our closing Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.